Tavshin Ayin Tes, and Baruch Hashem, the Bnei Yisrael are doing very well right now. We've gone through some of the makas. We're now going to go to the last few makas. Barad Ar B'Chayshach, Makas B'Chayrus. It was last week. We're going to Ar B'Chayshach, Makas B'Chayrus. We're going for the last three makas. And Paro's starting to cave. He's starting to give in. And Moshe Rabbeinu is convincing, you know, Hashem is making him harden his heart already. And his people want to give in. And nevertheless, there's a continued back and forth. And Paro is giving in slowly, slowly, slowly. So let's just do a couple of psukim. We'll start at the beginning as we get into the parasha, and then we'll go to the psukim we'd like to talk about. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Boy, al Paro, go to Paro. Kani achadati as libay. So already we have the kfeidus halev that he had. He hardened his heart. Vezlev avadav leman shisi ososai ela bikirbay, so that I can put these signs in his heart. Leman tesabri bazne bincha, that you should tell your children, ben bincha, your grandchildren, esa sheysalalti Mitzrayim, how I mocked Mitzrayim, ves ososai shesamti bom, yidatni Hashem. So we have that Hashem says, here's why I'm doing these makas. I could have just had Paro right away, the first makah, let you go. But I didn't want that, because I wanted to be engraved in the heart of Paro and engraved in the heart of all of Zavodim that I'm Hashem, that you should know who's in charge of this world. You thought you're in charge, you thought you go down, you're the Nile, you're the God. It doesn't work like that. I'm in charge. So Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they say, call him Hashem, and so on. And then they get into a vikuach. Now already Paro's starting to bend. Let's look at Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Avdei Paro Elav, the Avdei Paro say to him, Ad Masa Yelzelon Lamaikesh. How long is he going to be a snare for us? How long do we have to put up with this? Shalach Zanoshim, Vyavdus Hashem Lekehem. Let him go out. Let him go. Haterim Teda, before you know, Kiyav the Mitzrayim. Okay. So what does he do? So Paro's already, his servants are pressuring him, and even Paro, by the way, Paro has power. He's also afraid of his servants. Remember, there was a gentleman named Julius Caesar, who we all learned about in high school, who was the leader of the whole world, and they came in and they killed him. His own guys killed him. So Paro is not invincible. Vayushav is Moshe v'Aaron. El Paro, so Moshe and Aaron come back. They bring him back. Vayomer Aleihem. So this is what he tells them. Listen to what he tells them. Lechu ivdu es Hashem. Go and serve Hashem. Elokeichem, your God. Mi v'miyahochem. Who's going? I want to know who's going. Now, if you looked at the past, Moshe told them a few times who's going. Okay, Moshe tells them. Vayomer Moshe binareinu bezakeinenu neilech. With our young ones and with our old ones, we're going. Bibaneinu, with our sons. Ubibaneisenu, with our daughters. Bitsaineinu, v'kareinu, with our sheep and with our cattle. Neila, ki chag Hashem lanu, because it's a chag. It's a festival to Hashem. So the first question we need to ask over here is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu go into such detail? If you say, binareinu v'zakeinu, our young and our old, you include your daughters and your sons, right? Our young and old, that's sons and daughters, right? And he says, sons are to our children, sons and daughters. And then, our sheep and our cattle. All right, now it's getting serious. If I was Paro, I'd say, oh, this doesn't sound like they're going for a couple of days. It sounds like they're planning on leaving. But Moshe says it. And then he says, why? And he said, we shouldn't say, Chag Hashem lanu, it's a Chag for Hashem. Vayomer aleihem, he says to them, Pasuk Yud, Yichein Hashem imachem. Hashem should be with you. Kasher Ashaleach Eschem Estapchem, that I'm going to send them out. Re'u ki ra neged pneichem, evil awaits you. And Rashi says, Af ki yishalach gam es hatzoin v'sabokor kasher amartem, re'u ki ra neged pneichem, is bad. Ketargumu umedush agoda shemati koichav echad, there's a star named Ra, and you're going to see it's going to come. You're going to have tzaris. You're going to have not good things in Hashem. I see in my kishuf, kaychav oil of the cross, and there's a star coming to the midbar. For who simon dam variga? And Taki was right. Not now, but he's right later. It says kishchot Yisrael be'egel. when they did a chat with the eagle, ubike shakosh baruch lahargam, when Hashem wanted to kill them, amremayshim tfiloso lama yamre mitzrayim lemor, why should Mitzrayim say b'ra tziyam, that you took him out with ra? So you see that Paro said, I'm going to let you go, but it's not going to be good for you. Because there's this star called Ra that is coming against you. So what does he say? Lochein luchu no hagvarim. Only the men should go. V'idu es Hashem ki oisa atem v'akshim. That's who you want. V'yigar shosu mitnei Paro. And he sends them out from in front of Paro. So what was the vikuach between Paro and Moshe? What was Paro? Was it just Stam? Paro says only the men can go. And Moshe says, no, we got to have the girls and the boys have to go. And was there more to this conversation than it would seem, that it just on the surface, you know, yaha na'ah type of conversation? So in the Sefer Umasaka Or, he brings from Reb Shlomo Zaid. Tell him I'll be available later. So he says like this. This was not Stam of Machlaikas. There was much more going out there. He says the question is, what is Avaida? When we have Avaidas Hashem, what is Avaida? The word Avoda, my brother used to live in Rehov Avoda. So what's Avoda? It can have two meanings. It can mean it can mean work or service, or it can mean service of Hashem. And it has two very different meanings. The word avoda can mean hard work, right? Avaidas perach, or it can mean avaidas Hashem. What did the Rasha say in the Haggadah? The Rasha says, Ma ha'avoda hazois lochem. What is this avoda to you? And what was the Rasha saying? He was saying, what's all this avoda? You get off from Shabbos and you have to spend all day in shul. You get up, Yom Tovim, that's called Avodas Hashem. You have to do Pesach, all that cleaning, and Sukkot, you have to go out and live in a Sukkot. That's not Avodas Hashem, that's Avodah, that's hard work. So he looks at the word Avodah as a difficult thing, not as an easy thing. Agav, this word Avodah has goes in interesting directions when we talk about Avodah. Remember when Rivka was pregnant, so she said, she went to find out from Shem, what's this going on in here? I'm going to Avodah Zarah, going to here. And what was the answer? Rav Yavod Sawyer. One's going to be, they're going to take turns who's on top. Rav Yavod Sawyer. And the Rav is going to serve it. He's going to be the servant of the Tzoyer. He's going to be the servant of the other one. Later on, it also tells us when Esav came to Yitzchak, and he said, "Uh-oh, you gave my bracha away." So what did he say? So he also said, "Al charbecha tichya v'yachicha tavay." He also said, "You're going to serve him," and it says, "V'yistam Esav es Yaakov." So I heard from Reb Daniel Gladstein. He said a shir from a Talmud of the Marshal, of the Ramchal, Talmud Ramchal. That what he was saying is not just that he will serve him, but he was saying he will worship him, in the sense of avodah. Rav Yavod Sawyer means that Esav will worship a member of Yaakov's descendants, and who was the person who ended up being the with small g god of the Goyim, a Jew. So Rav Yavod Sawyer, and the same thing Al Karbet Tifki of Achicha Tavoid, he said you're going to worship your brother. Esav said, that's too much for me. Vayistam Esav is Yaakov. He hated him for that. I have to worship them? So Rav Yavod Sar means he will worship one of them. In that sense of Avodah. I was turning in the car the stations, and I came across a station from a missionary station. You know, they have these Christian stations with a pastor. And the pastor was very anti-Semitic. And he was saying all sorts of terrible things about Yid and Nebuch. And one thing he said, they are so devious, they even have us worshiping one of them. That's what he said. They even have us worshiping. Look how evil they are. We worship a Jew. How can that be? They're so bad. Why are we worshiping a Jew? So he says, when it says Rav Yavam Sawyer, means that he will worship him. Yad the Rav. And that was something that Esav already was too much for Esav. It's enough, I have to serve him, I have to worship him. So the question is, what does Avoid mean? So the Rosh and the Haggadah looks at Avoid as a terrible thing. He says, that's the way Paro looked at it. Paro looked at Avodas Hashem as something which was not a good thing, a difficult thing, a hard thing to do. So he said, okay, L'chunah Gvarim. You need somebody to go to Davin? So you only need the men to Davin. Worshiping Hashem, it's hard stuff. It's not a pleasant thing. So you only need the men. L'chunah Gvarim, V'yavdos Hashem. Avodah Kasha Kazois, Matim L'Gvarim, V'lo L'Nashav L'Yiladim. That's for the men, not for the women. So what do you got to send them out? What do you need them for? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't understand. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a beautiful relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. It's a relationship of Ava. It's a relationship of love. We love to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something we want our children to know as well. That's something we want to flaunt, we want to build in our children. B'nareinu b'zakeinu neilech. We're going with everybody, young and old. We dafka want the children. But even our possessions, Nailik, we want partners. Ki chag Hashem lanu. He's saying this is not an avodah, this is a chag. To service Hashem by yid, that's a beautiful thing. Into us Hashem, besimcha. Service Hashem besimcha, it's something that we're happy with. We're joyous to be part of Klal Yisrael. We're joyous to be servants of Hashem. So in Mashat Roya Kavaida, oil and masa, what you see Paro is an oil and a masa. To us, it's a beautiful thing. It's a simcha gedayla that we see to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Paro didn't see it that way. To Paro, this was all an avaida. It was all a difficult thing because Paro was the Rasha, like the Rasha Nagada. But Moshe Rabbeinu said it's a chag. It's a joyous thing, chag lanu. We all know the famous story of Moshe with the two people whose kids, one became Shomer Shabbos, one was Mechal Shabbos, and they know the story because on Erev Shabbos they used to lose their jobs, and one would say, dance with the children. We stood up for the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the kids felt it was a joyous thing. And the other one used to say, never come crying, I have no job. And it was a terrible thing. So how we relate to our Avodas Hashem is something that makes a tremendous roshim to all those around us. If we look at Avodas Hashem as a joyous thing, so then it's something that we'll inculcate in our next generation. If we look at it as something that's not a joyous thing, then Rachman al-Islan, it doesn't go in the same direction. They see it differently. And that was the vikuch between Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted to show Yiddishkeit to be a religion of joy, of simcha, of happiness, and Paro, who looked at religion as something of avoida, tichbar ha-avoida, something that's a sad thing, not a happy thing. So avoida is all in the heart. We call it Avodah Salev. I remember hearing from Yosef Mendelevich, the famous Russian refusnik, became Amshat Tzaddik from a Yid. And I remember I heard a speech from him, and he said, you know, the Russians were saying, you know, Mr. Mendelevich, we can keep you for the rest of your life here in jail. You know, he says, we are tough Russians. We can do this to you. So he said back to him, he says, I'm also tough Russian, and you can imprison my body, but you can never imprison my mind. My mind is always mine. Put me in jail the rest of my life, fine.
They put but them I'm all mental hospitals. They
what?
Give them drugs.
To
give them mindful drugs.
Okay, so maybe give them drugs, then I don't know what happens then. But you can't imprison a person's mind. And we're here, and we have an Avodas Hashem. And if we look at our Avodas Hashem, it's something of joy. It's something of happiness. It's something that we'll freilich with. So that'll be something that will go into the next generation. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu kept saying about our children, our daughters, our sons. And it's interesting, he said sons and daughters separately. I think it was very keen understanding that there is a difference, and each one needs a different type of navoida. They can't, one size does not fit all. He could have just said, b'yaldeinu, with our children. He said, b'neinu, b'naseinu, because each one needs a different type of an avaida and a different type of chinuch, and that was very much of an understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says like this, the Gemara says in our going forward in our avaida, so this is a famous Gemara, in keeping ourselves joyous in this concept of simcha. This Gemara in Gittin, in Nun Vav Amalf, it's a tragic Gemara, but it's almost like, if you look at this Gemara, it's so tragic, but if you can take the tragedy out, It's funny. It's like humorous. What happened here? There was a lady by the name Martha Paspaisis, very wealthy lady, and she had a servant, and she sent her servant out to the shuk to buy, and there was almost nothing left, right? And Yerushalayim was toward the end before the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. And the Eved goes and comes back. She says, get me the finest flour. Here's a rich lady. Comes back, no finest flour. She says, okay. And she sends him out a second time. Go buy me, he said, there's no fine flour, there's only dark flour. You know, what we used to call, I remember, I used to have pumpernickel. It's got to be a certain age to remember.
Whole wheat. No?
Pumpernickel. Whole wheat is also, pumpernickel was black. It was black.
It's called. Pumpernickel was better.
It was black bread. So he said, okay, get me dark. See, so comes back, no dark, there's only coarse, no coarse, and this goes on. And much like in a million bedillion. You know, whatever you told him, that's, he didn't have any cup to go bite him. So in the end, the story is that she had to go out by herself, and she stepped on something, and she was very delicate, and Nebuch was a tragedy of the Churban. But he asked the question, what's the purpose of Gemara telling this story? To tell us what a jerk, what a shaita this guy was, that Nebuch had no seichel, that he went out, shouldn't call anybody that name, but he's no seichel, that he went out, is that we're trying to make fun of him? I mean, what was the purpose of the story? So he says, he gives a very nice reason for the story. He says, the Gemara wants to tell us that you shouldn't be shaita, you shouldn't be fools. You have to know that never be satisfied with where you are. Always try to say, can I do something better? So if this is not available, a lot of people just give up. No white flour? Okay, no white flour. I mean, he was probably depressed. Remember, this is the Churban's about to happen. He probably said, no white flour? And he'll forget about it. I give up. But a person should always realize that they want more. So if I can't have this, I have to go to that. And one of the things that depresses people is when they get to a madrega, and they can't go past it. So he says the person should never look at that. We should look at it not like this servant. We should look at it that we can always, if we can't reach this madre, at least let's reach that madre. If we can't reach fine flour, at least reach shachar flour. If we can't reach shachar flour, at least reach bran. If we can't reach bran, let's go to the next level. Never feel that if I can't get to the top, I shouldn't start at all. You know, we're coming up to Siyum HaShas, which I recommend to everybody, January 1st, 2020, MetLife Stadium, 1 p.m., and I know there are many people that are so inspired by Siyum HaShas, they start learning Torah, and they start learning, and they learn the first Masechta is called Brachas, very fascinating Masechta, and everybody's into it. And the next Masechta is harder, Shabbos, a little harder. So there are people who give up. So I remember I was talking to somebody, he says, I'm not even going to bother this time learning Brachas. Last time I only got as far as Brachas, and I didn't continue. And the time before I only got as far as Brachas, I didn't continue. I'm not going to do it anymore. I said, that's so foolish. Don't look at it that you didn't learn Shas. Look at it, you did learn Brachas. Why are you concentrating on what you didn't do? Concentrate on what you did do. And it's great. And you did Brachas. So some of those Brachas, once in 7.5 years, that's an accomplishment. I said, you start remembering? He goes, yeah, I remember a lot of it. The people are like that. They're like the servant in this story. If I can't get fine flour, I'm out of here. I can't get black flour, forget about it. That's not us. That's not the way you should be. That's the lesson of this story, is wherever we are is a good thing. Let's, whatever madre you reach, that's worth it. So a person, let's say you daven in the morning, right? And, let's say a couple times let's say I daven in the morning, a couple times lose a little concentration. So you can do two, after daven, you say, oh, I lost concentration, I'm no good, I'm this. Or you can say, wait, 90% of the time it was okay. How are we looking at it? Are we looking at the fine flour, or are we looking at the black flour? So the Torah is teaching us we should always look at the good part of what we have and never look always to see the negative. Never be negative. Never look at negativity. Always look at the positivity. And he says a beautiful thing. Beautiful in a pasuk. It says by David HaMelech in Kapitel Kuf Tezayin, a pasuk Tezayin, we say, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, Ani Abdecha ben Amasecha. Pitach l'mosera. You say the pasuk, you're all familiar with the pasuk. We all know those pasuk, right? So the question is, he asks, why say Ana Hashem ki ani Abdecha? Ani Abdecha ben Amasecha. Why do we repeat it twice? Have you ever heard this kasha? Why do you repeat it twice? Say Ani Abdecha right away. Ana Hashem Ani Abdecha ben Amasecha. Why does Ana Hashem ki ani Abdecha ben Amasecha? So he says there's two types of avadim. There's an avid. Why does a person become an avid? One is because he stole. And the other reason he sold into an avid, and the other is because his mother was a shivcha and he was born into it. So the one who is an avid who stole, he can't wait to get out. He just wants out. He doesn't want to be an avid. The one who was born into an avid, that's his life. That's who he is. He doesn't know any other life. He's happy with that life. Every kid's happy growing up. But come on, I mean, unless they're, you know, class for shul. But most kids have, you know, even in difficult circumstances, children have a certain joy to them, a certain happy, a certain nachas. So what does he say? Ona Hashem, says David HaMelech, there's two types of avodim. Ona Hashem ki ani avdecha. I'm your servant, Hashem. You know what type of servant I am? Ani avdecha ben amasecha. I don't want to run away from being your servant. I'm happy to be your servant. Ani Hashem. Ona Hashem ki ani, help me, Hashem. Ani avdecha. Which type? Avdecha ben amasecha type. The type that loves being part of that. And even if pitachta lemosei roi, you take off my bounds and I can walk away from you, I'm not walking away because I like being here. I'm happy being part of Hashem's army. And let me tell you something. When you travel around the world, it's very, very interesting. Last Sunday, I was in the parking lot with my wife in Costco. And a lady in the parks next to us, and she starts a conversation with us, and she tells us that tonight's her father's yahrzeit. He was a good man. He suffered a lot during his lifetime. Would I say Kaddish for him?
She's a lady. What?
A lady was next to she was a Jewish lady. What?
It's called bageling.
Right, she's bageling. Mom bageling. I said Kaddish. His name was, we can make the shir, say from the Shvasa, Yehuda Leib ben Binyamin. I'm sure he was a good person. But Yehuda Leib ben Binyamin, that's it. I said Kaddish. And you feel a certain, you know, a joy in being a Yid. That here you are, and people feel right away they can, you know, another Yid comes to you. It's like she was not a from lady, and very not a from lady, so she was reformed, whatever. But that's not the point. The point she felt is a pride in being Jewish, and she saw another Yid, and she right away bonded. It's another Yid, you feel, you can talk to them, you feel comfortable. So we have a certain joy. So that's what David Mel is saying. Ani av ben amasecha. I'm born into this. Pitachlan may say, Roy. Right? You're going to open my bounds? I'm still in it. I'm not running away from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I always feel a love and a delight to be a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that's also two types of people. That one says, Zekei Livan Vehu, and then it says, Vaiter Elokei Avi Varoi Memenu. One says, I'm Zekei Livan Vehu. So I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is very beautiful. But the other one says, Elokei Avi. My relationship even goes back before me. It goes back for a long time. I was talking a Yid. He was talking about his great-grandfather was a Rav in Chicago in the 1920s. He goes back, you know, there's a certain Namshacha. You feel a pride. Ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm in this for a long time. Like Avi. We're in this, and this is our life, and this is our heart. So we have a simcha, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell Paro. Paro, you got it all wrong. You think that avodah is a tough thing. It's only, you know, it's only for the men to go. You're making a mistake. The women will go. The children will go. Ki chag Hashem lanu. It's a chag for all of us. We all feel a joy being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we want to go to. Okay, let's continue. Two other brief things. So, in the Zayda Sefer and the Ber Moshe, if we take a look in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Ches. So it talks about the Erev Rav. It's very interesting. There's this group that came with Bnei Yisrael. Take a look. It's on page 185. Vayisu Bnei Yisrael, and they went Miramse Sukaisa, Vagam Erev Rav Olimah. Pasuk Lamed Ches. The Erev Rav went with them. Sinu Bakar Mikdei Kavim Miyodim. They had a lot of Sinu Bakar. Which makes you wonder why later on they were saying we have no food. But okay. So the question is, who are these Erev Rav? And what was this Erev Rav all about? And why did they come with them? So you want to hear Zayir? This is mind-boggling. You know who the Erev Rav were? It wasn't just Stam, a bunch of Egyptians that picked themselves up. Erev Rav hayu chartumi mitzrayim v'chachameha. It was the upper level, the chartumi mitzrayim and the chachameha, they're the ones who came. Ki kishiroa nisim niflos, when they saw all the things going on, they were there, they witnessed it. They were in the palace. Remember, everybody else just heard about it probably. I'm sure it was all the news. But they were there and they witnessed it. And they're the thinkers, they're the, you know, the chachamim. Bichuli scarv li so they want to become Jewish. Hashem says, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. Amr Maisha Amori Dalma Kim the Khama Gavrasa Dilach Bondli Skyra, people want to be Megayer, and then they'll all call out your name and they won't worship Avodah Zarah. What could be better? Why not? So you know how Kodesh Baruch Hu always says, okay, you want to do it? I'm not stopping you. That's the derech of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is mekabelim, and says the Chazal, in the end, these same Erev Rab were the people of the Chet Egel, because they went back to their Mekor, they went back to who they were, which was Nebuchadnezzar. So he says, what was the reason? Why did they lose it? He says, an important Yisoid in Rambam. The Rambam says Yisoid, and this is the difference between the Erev Rab and the Yidden. This is here the Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Rambam. Hilchos Yisoid HaTara, Halach Aleph, Perek Ches. Moshe Rabbeinu lo aminu boi b'nei Yisrael. The people did not believe in Moshe b'nei ha'osos, she'osa, because Nisimi did. Sha'amaymen al piya oisos yesh b'libo doifi. Somebody who believes only because he saw miracles, he has in his heart foolishness. He has in his heart something not good. She'efsher she'yasa ois belot ukishuv, because you could do the same thing. You could figure out a way to, you know. It was many years ago. Somebody told me they were in Universal Studios, and they showed how they made Yamsuf. They have a picture about the Ten Commandments, and they showed how they faked and made a fake Yamsuf. You know, so he says, "Zok the Rambam, you can fake it." You know. So if you believe only because you were blown away by seeing a miracle, you're in trouble, because you can get fooled by miracles. Elchein, to be a believer means you believe because you have amuna. So Yisrael kedoshim aminu b'Hashem Yisbarach, and they believed on their own. So when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't show up, that wasn't the end of their amuna. The other ones who right away believed only because of ISIS, they see Moshe Rabbeinu floating around in the sky on a beer, on a mita, they're finished, they're out of here. And that was the Erev Rab. So he says, so Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Makar of them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, so what was Moshe Rabbeinu's judgment? You see, if Hashem Baruch Hu knows better. Because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to bring the Gula. And it says in the Pasuk in Tzfanya, Gimel Tes, says ki oz epach el amin sofa brura, I'll make for all the nations a clear language, likro kulam b'shem Hashem la'avdo shchem echad, that they'll all become one to serve Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I can bring all of these people together, these are the chartumim and these are the chachomim, which means that they do it, everybody's going to do it, right? All Mitzrayim's going to do it. They're going to all follow them, and I can get the elite to serve Hashem. I can bring Mashiach. And we don't have to go through the whole, you know. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's not ready. You're not ready for Mashiach. And these people are the wrong people. And the end was Nebuch. Of course, the Rebbeinu was right. And we end up with the Erev Rav, and we ended up with the Egel. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Taka, began Erev Rav Oli Itam, the Erev Rav went with them, because they wanted to show that they wanted to become part of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem said, be careful. And Moshe wasn't, and this is what happened. Just one more ha'or in the word, it says, Gam Erev Rav Oli Itam, with them, not Imam. And you should know the difference, says the Mal, between Imam and Itam, is Imam means with them equal, and Itam means with them subservient. Like V'loich, Loich, Hoylech, Imai. Right? First says Itai, later it says Imai, because there was a difference. So they originally were subservient to Klal Yisrael, but unfortunately later on, they proved not to be that way. And I think that is why we are so careful with Gerim. When a Ger comes, they give him a very rough time to make sure that he's not an Erev Rab, that he's not Chas V'Shalom bringing into Klal Yisrael those hashkafas, those false hashkafas that the Erev Rab had. And he's not coming just because he was, you know, dazzled by the prowess of the Israeli army or something that he saw, like a nace, and therefore he got blown away. He has to be coming in because he really wants to come in, or because somebody wants to marry and so on. And that's, I think, why they're so careful to make sure, because the Klal Yisrael depends on its amunah, and that amunah can be working by other people. So let's just say one last thing, and that's somebody sent me from Rav Cook. If you take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, so the Pasuk tells us, how the Jews are supposed to leave Egypt. And it says an interesting thing. You know how they should leave? Very interesting. Their shoes on their feet. Ready to go. They have to eat it in a rush. They have to hurry and get out of there as quickly as possible. So that's very good. Okay, they got to leave fast. And we find in one other place this chippazon. So he points out that there's a third place where it says the word chippazon in the Tanakh. It's an unusual word, chippazon. Quickly, I don't know if it's in modern Hebrew if they use the word chippazon, but do they use Hebrew? Okay, so it says in the pasuk, it's in Yeshayah Nun Beis, and he talks about the Asad Lavai. And the pasuk says, Ki loy b'chippazon teitze, you will not go out with chippazon. Ubenusa lo se leichon, you won't go out running. So the kasha is, why by Yitzias Mitzrayim do we have to leave the chippazon? And when it comes to the Asad Lavai, when Mashiach is going to come, we're not going to do a b'chippazon. It says, loy b'chippazon, you're not going to go. What's the difference between the two? So he explains that when it was Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were in trouble. They were sitting there and they've been slaves for hundreds of years. In that thing it says, one of the reasons Hashem wanted them to borrow from the Mitzrayim in order to take away their feeling of avdus. Because the Mitzrayim are now, you're going to go to the Mitzrayim and say, excuse me, Mr. Mitzray, I happened to be in your house during Makas Chayshach, and I happened to notice he had like some jewels over there. You did. I'd like them. Oh, you do? Yes. And he gives it to them. That took away the whole avdus. Up until then, they were just the slaves. Now all of a sudden they're in the power position and they needed to be there. But they had to get out as fast as possible so that the slave mentality shouldn't stick with them. They had to leave, they had to make a clean break. He says, however, La'asad Lavo is just the opposite. Klal Yisrael spent thousands of years being makar of the world. Every single thing that we have today in the world which is considered good, start out with Klal Yisrael. And therefore we have an omission. That's why Klal Yisrael has to go to every country, because in each country we have to be somewhere in order to be mashpia, to bring to in every place we go, everybody we meet, the parking lot of Costco, as we said, that's also, and we decided to go because that lady needed to have Kaddish for her mother, convinced that all the things we bought was not why we were there. We were there to help this lady take Kaddish for her father and make a Rosh Hashanah on her that we're good people. So everything we do. So now when we come to Asad Lavo, we want to go slowly because we want to gather the whole world together with us. We want to make sure. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that the reason for all the other religions of the world is that when Mashiach comes, it shouldn't be too shocking. That they should slowly accept that there's one God, there's a monotheistic God. They should accept all of the things about being nice to each other, about not killing each other. In Rome, people, if a person wanted to kill his children, his wife, no problems. Parents, you know, it was incredible. We can't even imagine what it means a barbarian. And now that we civilize the world, we want to make sure that we have time to bring everybody together to bring Mashiach. So therefore, when you went on Mitzrayim, b'chippazon had to be done quickly so that the influence of Egypt should be expunged from us. When Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be done not b'chippazon, so we should have time to convince everybody to come with us together, tachas kapashchina. So we should all have that in mind. We should all be zayichet to the Yimayis Mashiach. We should all be there to do our job by Yimayis Mashiach of bringing the whole world tachas kanfei Hashkenah.